Hello and welcome back. We are back with episode 6. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of this week's topic. It's a topic that has been on my mind for a couple of years now, and it's such an important topic for families that we are actually going to start to introduce some new recipes in the meal planner catered specifically toward this. And the topic is all about kid athletes. And I can't tell you how many times that I've heard parents say, oh, thank goodness my child is active because I know he isn't really eating, you know, all the great foods. And we sometimes use that as our reason for why we haven't tackled healthy eating. We just kind of think, oh, they're going to burn it off. But the truth is, and we now know, that it doesn't really work that way. We know that it's more than just calorie in versus calorie out, that it's so much more about the types of calories that our kids are eating and what it's doing inside of their bodies. And they might not show it now, but it is impacting everything inside, and they might not be as agile or as fast or as quick to respond, and their brains might be a little bit foggy if they're not eating the right foods. So I say all this as we come off of the heels, our family, of a very intense season of basketball for 9-year-olds. And I was warned of this when our kids were just born, that wait till they get into school and wait till they start playing sports because it's going to get really competitive. And oh my gosh, it really has been. But it also has been great because I've been able to test a lot of this out on my 9-year-old and also on my, well, now 10-year-old and also on my 8-year-old. And you know, I recently shared a story on one of our podcasts about a situation where we did not fuel our 10-year-old properly and how it really hurt his game. So we're going to share some of those stories and I'll share with you some of the things that you can do to really change that. But now that sports are getting much more competitive, and even again at the ages of 8, 9, and 10, I feel a personal responsibility to do everything that I can to make sure that my kids have the opportunity to do good. And nutrition is a big part of that for a kid athlete. And a lot just don't know the ins and outs. And a lot of young athletes really just don't eat to compete. And many eat foods that weigh them down. You know, they might eat those candy bars and those nachos because it seems like the fun thing to do, or drink the Gatorade because it's the cool thing to do, but it's not really helping to fuel them. You know, just this past summer, we were playing in a baseball tournament and it was so hot outside, and we had that very short 30-minute gap in between games to quickly fuel up before we hit the heat again. You know, and naturally, all the kids wanted nachos and candy bars and, you know, all of that, and Gatorade after Gatorade after Gatorade. And unfortunately, the concession stands make that really hard to resist, and we'll cover that a little bit later too. So the reality is, even though they may not be showing signs of weight, it's still impacting our kids inside and it's impacting their brains, and we're putting them at a disadvantage on the field. So the foods that they eat can either energize them or it's gonna slow them down. I mean, it's just as simple as that. So today we'll cover a very, very simple plan for helping your kid athlete fuel up. And we're also gonna talk a little bit about the right drinks as well. Nutrition isn't really talked about much in sports, and so as a result, you know, kids may not eat the right things, and sometimes they might rely, older kids might rely on protein shakes or even supplements to help them, or they might try to follow an adult plan. But we know that really an adult plan should not be used for kids. So this is it. This is such a simple way to remember how to fuel our kids up properly. They need 3 things. It's a good mix of complex carbs, protein, and fat. And that's it. So I heard this analogy recently, and it made such perfect sense. And it was an analogy around the components of a house. So your complex carbs, we think of that as the foundation of your house. That's what's going to provide your sturdy foundation, that stability, that strength. And so complex carbs are going to be things like your fruits. It's your bananas, your oranges, your apples, your berries, and your vegetables. Things like potatoes and broccoli and green beans and carrots. It also is going to be your nuts, your seeds, and your beans. Beans are really great. So you might have pinto beans or even chickpeas and lentils. Then you're going to have grains. It's those whole grains that we're really looking for. And some other grains like buckwheat and quinoa. And then dairy is also a part of that. So milk and yogurt and cheeses and cottage cheese. So those are all the complex carbs that are good for our body because they are processed more slowly in the body. They're going to give you more energy and they're going to keep you fuller. And we've talked before about those other simple carbs that are made up of a lot of sugars, and they just run right through your body, and they really don't keep you full at all. So we're looking for those complex carbs that are going to hold us over for a little bit longer. That's the foundation. That's your stability, and that's your strength. The second piece is protein. So protein would be like the brick and mortar. That's what shapes the house. That's what gives it its shape and its feel. And the protein also, it helps to build new tissue, but it also repairs damaged muscles. So think about protein, and good to have maybe a protein at morning, lunch, and dinner, and of course in some snacks too, but protein is going to be your meats, your eggs, chicken, fish, tuna, peanuts. And if you have an allergy or if you don't eat meat, there are so many other options for protein. Things even like the Brussels sprouts, the lentils, the quinoa, the broccoli, the Greek yogurt, those are also really good sources of protein. So those are the two parts of it, and the third is healthy fats. And you can think of fats like the plumbing and the electricity in your house. Because you know, we've talked about this before, those good healthy fats, they just light up your brain. Fats are gonna help your brain to think clearly, and it's gonna help your kid athlete to make better decisions when they're out on the field. So you're gonna think of good healthy fats like nuts and seeds and avocado and extra virgin olive oil and coconut oils and those grass-fed butters. Your peanut butter, your nut butters, the ground flaxseed and fishes, those are all of the things that we need. So we need those truly at each and every meal. Those are what we're going to be looking for. It is really a simple plan. So what we steer away from are your processed foods that really have no nutrients to them, your protein bars for kids, because really with those protein bars, many of them just have so much added junk to them, added sugar. You know, they're fine. We will sometimes use, you know, Kind bars or Lara bars when they're on the road, but we won't use those to fuel up before a game. They're just not going to give us enough. They're not going to help enough to hold the kids over. And of course, we're going to steer away from those candy bars and that chips and the soda and the fast food because it's not going to help our kids. It's not going to give them the energy that they need. So it's a really simple plan. And so that's how they'll actually eat the entire day. So it's not even about what they eat right before they play a game. It's really about looking at it from an entire day. So for example, breakfast might look like eggs with a piece of toast and some berries. You know, lunch could be that grilled ham and cheese where you're gonna spread the Kerrygold butter on the bread with some good fruits and vegetables. And a school snack could be roasted chickpeas that you cooked in coconut oil along with maybe another vegetable. And your snack right before you play could be something with Greek yogurt and a banana or granola along with that. You know, your dinner, which we talk so much about dinner, so it's the dinner from the meal planner. And then also look at maybe a post-workout snack before bed. That's something that's to kind of fuel and repair the muscles after an intense workout. So that's really just how simple it is. But truly, kids consume about 25% of their calories from snacks. So it's a really important area that we kind of deep dive a little bit more into snacks. And it's always a hot topic. And you know, and as our days continue to get busier, gosh, it doesn't really seem to matter anymore how old our kids are. They are so crazy busy with sports. And our evenings are becoming so busy as a result of it. And I was talking with a mom just a couple of weeks ago who said her girls, who are roughly the ages of 7 and 8, they do dance every night of the week and then for a couple hours on the weekend. I think they might have like one day off during the week. And in many cases, it's really as soon as they get home, they've got to turn right around and get ready to go back out for practice. And they're going to be at practice until 8 o'clock. So in many cases, their dinner is going to be eaten on the road or not until later at night. So they're fueling up with a lot of snacks. And so if you do have a chance to do dinner on the road, you know, then we want to look for those quick things like sandwiches are fine. Let's just make sure that we are padding that sandwich with some of the things that we've talked about. So maybe it's the whole grain bread. Maybe it's the Ezekiel bread with some peanut butter or some nut butter on it. Or maybe it's a typical BLT, but you're able to add some avocado on that. And some of this takes a little bit of time. Maybe it takes a little bit of effort to get the kids to where they're able to, you know, to really want and enjoy avocado. But it's a constant progression because we've got to get those healthy fats in there too. You know, maybe it's just a grilled cheese with ham that you add to it. And your snack strategy is going to be the same thing. It's those three. It's the complex carbs, the protein, and the fat. So it might be the Ezekiel muffin with peanut butter. It's veggies with hummus because chickpeas are so good for them. Maybe it's roasted chickpeas. Or it's cashew nuts and raisins. You know, we've been taking that a lot for when we're on the road, just for a little snack. It's just a mix of cashew nuts, pumpkin seeds, and raisins. And we put those into little containers and we take them on the go. And that helps us a lot when we're, you know, during games or right after or right before, just to give us a nice, good, healthy snack. Hard-boiled eggs have been really good. Greek yogurt, again, such a great protein source. Add that with a banana. So you'll see what a difference this makes over juice boxes, donuts, and chips, because it's really important. It's a huge shift. So let's talk about post-game snacks, because we want to also make sure that we are replenishing the body after sports. And there's a couple of ways to look at this. And again, this is such a myriad of different sports levels. So if your child is in younger sports, and I remember when we first started T-ball, for example, you know, our kids are like 4 and 5 years old when we started it. And it was always every parent had to sign up for snacks after the T-ball game. And it became this crazy thing. I mean, it was a whole bag of just snack. I mean, it was some sort of a sugary drink. It was some prepackaged sugary foods. It was candy. It was sometimes candy bars. And the reality is, it's just not needed. Those snacks are not needed. If your children are playing for under an hour, they really don't need any snacks. And especially if they are playing for over an hour and it's something like T-ball where there's barely any activity, snacks just aren't needed. If, however, though, it is vigorous exercise and vigorous activity, then a post-game snack and hydration is really good because remember, those proteins help to repair the muscles. So again, we're going back to that Greek yogurt or maybe a banana with some peanut butter. And some highly even recommend chocolate milk. And chocolate milk's a little funky. I wouldn't say that I'm a huge fan of chocolate milk simply because of the added sugar. If, however, though, you do a good job of limiting added sugars throughout the day, and if your kids aren't, you know, gorging on all kinds of candy bars and all kinds of processed foods, then hey, chocolate milk might just work after a game just to give them what they need. So truly, that is it. But there is another piece of this in addition to the food that's really important, and that is the way that our kids hydrate. You know, I was listening to an interview with a guy named Billy Beck III, and you know, he's amazing. He's this amazing fitness trainer in Florida, and he works with pro athletes, and he even coaches Tony Robbins. And he said the first thing that he does when he works with athletes is he talks to them about hydration. He said that's number one. He said because rarely does he see an athlete that is drinking enough. So if you have an evening game, you know, the thing to really be thinking about is that hydration that really needs to take place all throughout the day. And coincidentally, again, I've been testing out a lot of this with my oldest over the last couple of months as we've really gotten into aggressive basketball and just that intense, you know, 1 hour workout. And I saw that with him just this past weekend. You know, he had a game at 1 o'clock. And he fueled up with all the right foods. We had a Greek yogurt smoothie we threw in an avocado. We did that for breakfast. He had a couple other little things that we threw in there too, but it was a really, really great smoothie. It had tons of good stuff in it. Then he had a grilled ham and cheese with an apple, and he had some whole milk with that for lunch. And then game time was at 1 o'clock. So he had eaten all the right things, but he hadn't drank very much throughout the day. And we kept trying to talk, and we were trying to get in the drinking, and it just really wasn't happening. It just wasn't coming together. And you know, I could see that out on the field or on the court. I could see where he was a little bit more lethargic. And I really think that it had to do with that hydration. It just wasn't where we needed it to be. So drinking beforehand is just as important as what you drink is drinking during and drinking after. And the truth is that kids really only need water. And I know that will probably make you happy because you will save so much money by not having to buy the Gatorade and all the sports drinks, but that's all that they need. So as the soda consumption across the country is on the decline though, sports drinks are on the rise. Kids love sports drinks, but they don't need them. So if your child is exercising in hot weather outside for more than an hour, or if they're doing this multiple times a day, then a sports drink would be okay. But all other times, water is really sufficient. And so while Gatorade does have those electrolytes, it's also full of sugar. So a bottle of Gatorade has 34 grams of sugar, which is 3 times the amount of sugar that our kids should have in a day. So there's some other ways. I mean, again, water is going to be enough to hydrate them. If they need electrolytes, there are some waters that have the added electrolytes. That's an option. There are also some homemade versions of Gatorade that can be made that would be a little bit healthier too. But steer clear of those Gatorades if you can. Steer clear of flavored waters like Vitamin Water or Propel that have those added sugars or artificial flavoring. And also those flavor packets. They aren't good either. Again, these are all just kind of artificial flavors and additives that we really just don't need. And so it's important to stay hydrated during the game too. And you know, I think about this a lot. I remember growing up, you know, 2 times I was playing sports growing up, and both times I got overheated and I came very close to a heat stroke. You know, one, I was about 12 years old. I was playing softball at the time. It was like the dead heat of the day, wasn't fueled properly, and it actually made me very sick, caused vomiting, you know, had to hurry up and get cooled down. I mean, it was a pretty scary situation. Again, I was about 16 the next time. I was in the band at that particular time. We were practicing again in the heat of the day in the summer, and that was it. I mean, same type of thing again. Got very overheated, caused the vomiting. I mean, it's a very scary thing when we get like that, but that was my fault because I hadn't hydrated properly. So that's why it's really important that our kids make sure they're staying hydrated throughout the entire day as they lead up to these intense events. And foods can also provide good hydration too. So on game days, you can pack watermelon, cucumber, lettuce, celery, all those also provide great nutrients, but they also, you know, provide great hydration too. So really, this isn't that hard, but sometimes there are some pieces of it that make it a little bit harder, like those crazy concession stands. And I find that, you know, that's one of the toughest things for our kids to battle. And it's hard for mine. The minute my kids walk into a gym and they smell popcorn, or that they know that there are nachos there or whatever it might be, I mean, that's all they can think and talk about. It's so tempting. So it's really tough for me as a parent to juggle that. And I was talking actually with a mom recently who said at her school concession stand, they actually sold energy drinks. They didn't even sell Gatorade, they sold energy drinks. And that's really scary stuff because then we start talking about the caffeine that's in the energy drinks. So what's a little bit different with energy drinks is that they're not a food, so they don't fall under the traditional regulation by the FDA. And caffeine is not considered a nutrient unless it's added to food or soda. And so energy drinks don't fall under that same category. They're actually under the dietary supplements category. So they're regulated by the FDA on a voluntary basis. So what that means is energy drink manufacturers are not legally required to report any adverse reactions to the FDA, you know, that would include injury or illness. So we don't really quite know, but we do know that it's a scary thing because there's not enough information out there about it. And again, the high levels of caffeine. So those are some things to really watch out for. So energy drinks could be really detrimental to the kids. And aside from energy drinks and just talking about concession stands in general, you know, 75% of concession stand food is considered unhealthy. And we know that. I think that even might be a bit understated. You know, I remember the first time when I was working, I had to work a youth concession stand for the first time ever. And it was a baseball concession stand for the summer. And oh my gosh, I had no idea what I was doing. I had never worked a concession stand before. I didn't even know the lay of the land. And somebody came up and they ordered a taco in a bag. Well, I didn't know what in the heck that was. So they had to walk me through that whole process. And let me just tell you, if you haven't heard of a taco in a bag, whoever invented this? So a taco bag is where you open up a bag of Doritos, you scoop in hot dog chili, then you add on top of that cheese, then you add on top of that sour cream, then you add on top of that iceberg lettuce, then you add on top of that salsa. Everything is in that bag and you serve it with a fork. Oh my gosh, it totally rocked my world. And the whole time I was making it, oh man, I just so wanted to have a discussion with the parent. I mean, I didn't know what it was. Just, it's terrible. I hated making it. I hated serving this to a family. And I think I ended up I got 8 requests for a taco in a bag that day. It was brutal and painful. And at some point, I actually felt like people were doing this to me on purpose, but it was just one of those things. And those are the types of things that we see at concession stand food. So if you are in a position to change your concession stand food, do it. You know, most have refrigerators. You can do prepackaged apple snacks and yogurts and hummus and pretzels and plain popcorn and granola bars and dried fruit. I mean, there's so many other options without doing the taco in a bag and the Snickers bars and all the other crazy, unhealthy food that comes along with that. So it's really about creating an environment where our children aren't forced to make that decision between healthy and unhealthy. They shouldn't have to make that decision because it's too hard for them. It's too hard for us. We should just have the healthy choice only for them. So again, you know, this doesn't have to be complicated. It just takes a little bit of pre-planning. And I've found over the years that really the number one way to get our kids on board with healthy eating is really to base it around sports. And in one of the last podcasts, I talked about, you know, you've got to have your why. Like, why is it that you care about healthy eating? And it's going to be different for every one of us. But for kids, I mean, kids don't care about obesity. They don't care about blood pressure. But they do care about being tough and strong, playing good on the court, having good smarts. I mean, that's what they care about. So that becomes the why for why our kids really care and want to eat healthy. And then once you get them on board with that, everything else becomes so much easier. And there are so many other reasons for healthy eating. You know, there are about 3.5 million children under the age of 14 that have to get medical treatment every year for sports-related injuries. So what a great way to keep our kids' bodies strong, fueled properly, and we're keeping their brains strong too in this whole process so that they can make smarter decisions while they're playing. So again, this isn't rocket science. It's really just getting back to the basics and making sure that we've got those three areas covered. You know, those complex carbs, the protein, and the good healthy fats. It really ties in nicely with everything that we've been talking about over the last couple of podcasts. So please stay tuned as we continue to make your life easier with kid athletes. And we're also going to be introducing more recipes that will tie into this nicely that you can just load right into your meal planner for the week to make meal planning and make your snack planning so much easier. So thank you for joining us. I hope that you have enjoyed this. And I can't wait to hear all about the success that your kid athletes have after they start to embark on this healthy eating lifestyle. All right, we look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care.